Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bes Hashem Shir for Women, Shir number 47. Rav Twersky, in his book, Wisdom Each Day, talks about the preciousness of wisdom. See, money serves no purpose until it leaves our possessions. Once we spend money, we can acquire something we value. If we have money we can't possibly spend, it has no value. A person marooned on a desert island can't get any good thing from his money, no matter how much he may have of it. Wisdom always has value. You can benefit from true wisdom under any circumstance. It may help you survive even on an uninhabited island. And even if wisdom does not have a practical use, it has an intrinsic value to be wise. Intellect is not the only feature that distinguishes man from animals, but it's a very, very significant one. And it's a gift from Hashem, man's intelligence, women's intelligence, the Bina Yisera. And the wiser we become, the more we become fulfilled as human beings. And each one of us has inherent wisdom, and then we could develop more. So that's one aspect, to desire wisdom and to acquire it and to make it part of you. Another aspect is on an interesting aspect of Bein Adam L'Chaveray. If someone hurt somebody and they don't know where they are now or they can't rectify it now, they should still turn to Hashem after they left no one stone unturned and they did their best to talk to Hashem about it, and ultimately He forgives you. This is very important because some people are so agonized over this and they need to learn to let go. So He gives an example here. He brings this story from Rav Zalman of Vilna. When he was young, he once said an insensitive remark that embarrassed somebody. Then he realized that he did something terribly wrong. He wanted to ask Mechila. The person already left. And Rav Zalman of Vilna sought him tirelessly. He went from one shul to another shul. He went to every shul in Vilna. He ran through the marketplace day in and day out. He couldn't find the person. Apparently, the person was just a visitor of Vilna and left town. Rav Zalman couldn't find him, and he couldn't forgive himself. Now, Rav Zalman's father-in-law saw how much Rav Zalman was suffering. And so what Rav Zalman's, he arranged a person to act like he was that person. And he says, "Shalom, Rav Zalman, who are you?" He said, "Don't you remember? I met you and I visited you in Vilna, and I wanted to remind you of that wisecrack that you made that day." Rav Zalman was thrilled. He apologized. And then he accepted his mechila, of course, and then he caught on that this was a trick and said, "I'm sorry, I never saw you before." And he had just no relief from his agmas nefesh of causing this person pain. Now, this was in the time of the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen heard about this, and he called in Rav Zalman, and he told him, "Listen, my child, you know, when a person does wrong, you do everything in your power to set things straight, and you leave no stone unturned, but you did everything possible to find that person, to apologize to that person. God only asks what is within your means, and you're sincere, and you did your best. You should can be certain, absolutely certain, that Hashem put into His heart to forgive you. And you don't have to carry that burden any longer." I read from Rav Kook, he talks about this a lot also, that there's sometimes where, even when there is a chiyuv, right, and according to the Shulchan Aruch, you have to ask mechila from somebody, you can't get yourself to do it yet, it still has great value to ask Hashem to help you, to be able to ask forgiveness, and until then, to do your best to pray for that person and work through that daven that you should have your hearts aligned with one another and that you should forgive them and they should forgive you. And this helps a lot. It helps a lot. And there are situations where even you would ask a shayla, certain cases where it's not healthy to bring up something after many years of something, to ask mechila whether you're chiyuv or not, you know. Sometimes you're not mechuyev anymore, sometimes you are, but it's difficult. But you pray to Hashem with this consistently. If it's sincerely in your heart, you regret it, Hashem will give you that opportunity and will give them the opportunity. And you ask Hashem to remove that resentment. Now, in regard to Rav Nachman, what we talked about every day, we're going to try, every shiur, we're going to try to do one lesson. And the lesson today is to be real with Hashem. Rav Nachman teaches that to talk to Hashem every day in our own words, and to talk to Him like He's our very best friend. How is it possible? And do you fake it? You know, you don't fake it. You don't just say nice things. You know, like, I know what I'm going through is coming from you, and it must be good, and I accept it, and I'm grateful for it. And if you don't feel that, then, you know, you're sort of faking it in front of Hashem. Not everyone could do that, you know. Not everyone could feel that way. Everyone has, you know, it's hard to pretend to be happy when you're not happy. Sometimes it hurts you that Hashem dealt with you a certain way, and you want to be honest. So how does this work? The answer is to remember why we talked to Hashem in the first place. Why do we, and why should we? So the first thing to recognize is talking to Hashem is so precious and valuable because He knows you more than anyone else. Because He was always with you. And whatever you were going through, and whatever struggles or pain or heartache or fear, whatever your situation is or was, He already understands what you're feeling. And now He wants you to understand what you are feeling so you could work through that. So therefore, He Hashem, wants to tell you and let you know that He is there for you. He wants you to be able to understand that He is your best friend and He knows and loves you no matter what. And that's Rav Nachman's teaching. Talk to Hashem as you would talk to your absolute best friend. Your best friend is always there for you, whether you need to vent or complain or figure out uncomfortable things. It's okay to be honest and real with your emotions. You know, it doesn't say this here, but the only time in the Gemara is talking about when you're really rebellious and you say something like really chutzpahdik in a really belligerent way, maybe the exception to the rule, but you could express your pain and emotions and confusion to Hashem, or that you're hurt. But it's also good to express gratitude and appreciation and thank Him. And this is a hard one, but this works and it's very therapeutic to thank Him even for the hard things in life. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I felt you abandoned me. I know it's for good, but it really, really hurts. And you talk through your pain. But till they get to the point where you're able to thank Him for that too, because you'll feel His closeness ultimately as time goes by. So if you think about it, you know, it's a mitzvah to listen to someone else share their troubles. You're there for your friends and family with this. You're a listening ear to them. And you know that when a person shares their trouble, you know, share troubles with your friend, her burden becomes lighter. So why can't Hashem do this mitzvah for you? That He'll listen to you when you share your troubles to Him. And Hashem listens. So if you're going through a hard time, don't beat yourself up because you feel an urge to express your discomfort and pain. You always taught about Akaras HaTayiv, and we talk about it a lot. The joy, the Akaras HaTayiv. But if you're really feeling pain at this moment, and you have a lot on your plate, you could be real. You could tell Hashem exactly how you're feeling. You're allowed to do that. You know, I'm very hurt by this thing that happened in life. I don't understand it. I tried to be the best I could, and I felt that you weren't listening. I felt that you abandoned me. And, you know, and I feel hurt by that, and I want to understand more, and I want you to help me, enlighten me with this, and so on and so forth. As long as you're not belligerent with it, you could express your pain and confusion and also the good things, the, you know. And of course, yes, true Hakaras HaTayiv is important, but that's the idea. So that is the key. The lesson for today is that you should have a day, and hopefully every day, where you can open up your heart to Hashem and talk to Him like you talk to your best friend. Now, regarding to the concept of tznius that we started to touch upon, that we're going to talk about, in this collection of essays in the book Reclaiming Dignity, there's a foreword by Rabbi Yitzhak Berkowitz, and he talks about this idea that, especially in the Haredi camp, the religious camps, the dress code aspects of it and the highly overemphasis on it irritates many, many people and many adolescents, causing tremendous resentments and even reconsideration of everything connected with religion. And especially about dress. And it's a major problem. It really, really is. And it's sad that I had to come to this. There's this person who edited the book called Bracha Palkioff, and she writes an introduction. And she herself acknowledged, okay, she was the one who promoted to write such a book. And she acknowledges, this is why I believe this is the most authentic, because she herself admits that as a teenager and as a young adult, tznius carried a very negative association with her. A very negative association with her. And now she prepared this whole book to explain and to get it right. Now, she can't pinpoint when it started, but here are the contributing experiences. Number one, tznius campaigns that blame national tragedies on women's failing in modest dress. This drives people crazy. There's a fire, there's a disaster, COVID, because of tznius. The war, October 7th, it's because of lack of tznius. Every national tragedy, you know, the internet, because of, you know, things, everything is the internet or tznius. And women are bashed for this in a general way, that all tsaras in the world happen because of women's failing in modest dress. Totally warped. You know, are there aspects? There's aspects to everything. But it's a totally warped view to blindly associate that in such a general way. Another thing that turned her off is a list of rules about dress that are presented as halacha, when in fact it's not halacha at all. They are chumras, halachic stringencies, or minhagim related to specific communities. And many women are not there or don't want to be there, and they could keep halacha perfectly and dress the way they want to dress. And others may say that it's not tznius like this or that or the other thing. Meanwhile, they're doing absolutely nothing wrong. And if they would be left alone and just dress that way, everything's fine up here, halacha, and they're driven nuts and being perceived as low or cheap or whatever. That was another thing that turned her off. And overall, and here's, I think, the most important one, at least the more internal one, is the general feeling that tznius was a way to judge others on the most superficial aspects of themselves. The externals, the dress code alone. So she termed, or really she heard the term, that it's called tznius PTSD. Now, PTSD is not a simple thing. It's experiencing significant distress when you're exposed to past trauma and going to great lengths to avoid being exposed to such triggers in the future. And, you know, it's not a mental disorder of any sort, this tznius PTSD, but it really, really affects women this way. They just can't, there's such a negative feeling towards anything. The word tznius is so distasteful to them, even more so, that, you know, some people just simply say, they say, you know, when they even have these social media podcasts, I'm not doing tznius anymore. And a lot of people are resentful of it because it's an attempt to restrain self-expression and individuality. Okay? And this is a problem. And people don't want to box themselves into it. And they say, you have a choice, be tznius or not. I'm going to choose no, because you're not going to stifle me. Not realizing that healthy tznius does not have to be stifling in any way, shape, or form. And then you have a problem, because now they themselves choose not to deal with the tznius aspects, but now they have children of their own, right? And you want them to dress accordingly, and now you're caught off guard. What do? So, and all of this is because of these misconceptions. Again, the idea being that it was reduced to the most external and superficial aspect, only dress, and more specifically women's dress, and you create more issues than solving it. Creates a tremendously negative connotation that wants people to just remove themselves from it entirely. And we're going to try to do our best to grow through some of this to combat this and to show what the healthy, true Torah perspective, what God wants, which makes a person internally and externally happy with what it's really meant to be. Bracha v'atzlacha.